lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
And we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 15. And what I'm doing here is leading up to chapter 16. And verse 15, we're getting an overview of what's taking place and what's going to happen here. And we've seen how that in chapter 15, how that there were some who rose up against Paul and Barnabas, saying that they should be circumcised, that people should be circumcised in order to be saved. And I might add that Paul and Barnabas, they have come back to Jerusalem and to the Jerusalem church there, and they're being examined there as to what has been going on. Now, remember, they went back to Antioch to report what had taken place. But now we're looking into Jerusalem, and we're seeing the person whom we could call the pastor of the church there, of James. And James spoke in Acts chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "And after they had held their peace," these are all the people now that had gathered there to listen to Paul and Barnabas, "they held their peace. And James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." And verse 19 of Acts 15 says, "Wherefore my sentence," this is James speaking, "is this, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." In other words, James realized that people were saved through the grace of God without circumcision. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then we continue reading in Acts chapter 15 and verse 22, and we see that there are handpicked men who are sent with Paul and Barnabas, going to Antioch. It says in verse 22 there, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, or Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." Well, not only did they send these men with Paul and Barnabas, but they also sent a letter of recommendation to the church at Antioch. In verse 25, it says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." They were telling people about the men who were coming with Barnabas and Paul. Remember, Barnabas and Paul had already been there. They knew who Barnabas and Paul were. But now these other men, they were being recommended. Well, now we move a little further along, and we see that Paul and Barnabas and company, they arrive in Antioch. In verse 30 of Acts 15, it says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch." In other words, they were sent on their way. "And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle." And then we read in verse 35 that Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Well, we continue on, and we see that Paul makes a suggestion to Barnabas. Verse 36 of Acts 15, it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God, and see how they do." In other words, we're going to see how they're getting along. Let's just go back and look and see what's happening. Well, there was a contention about this. We see this in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. This contention was between Paul and Barnabas. Verse 37 starts by saying, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." Sometimes God has a way of separating people to get more work done. And I believe this is what was taking place here. that as these people separated and they went different ways, God would still use them to get the Word of God out so that more people could be saved. Well, and once again, you continue on in Acts chapter 15 and verses 40 and 41, and we see that now Paul's second missionary journey begins with a new companion. Verse 40 says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." In other words, he was going through and he was taking a look at the churches that were started and were being started there, and he was giving his approval as to what was going on there. Once again, that the Word of God was being preached, that the people who were there, the pastors, the elders of the churches, that they were doing what they were supposed to do, teaching and preaching the Word of God and helping new converts, seeing people saved, helping them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at something here about Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it says this, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Well, we see here the name Timothy. Paul and Silas traveled to Derbe and Lystra, where they met Timothy, and he was a disciple. And we read in that verse now, in verse 1, that his mother was a Jewish Christian. His father was a Greek. In other words, he was a Gentile. And something else about Timothy, we see in verse 2, where it says, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Timothy had a good reputation. He had a good testimony. He was a child of God who the people saw, and they recognized him as a person who was representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a good testimony. And then we continue on, and we see in verse 3 it says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." In other words, they knew that Timothy's father was a Gentile. He was a Greek. Well, now, something happens here. He chose Timothy to go with him. But now, we just looked at in chapter 15 how that there was a contention about circumcision, whether or not a person could be saved without circumcision. Well, Paul has Timothy circumcised. Well, why is this? Well, since Timothy's father was a Greek, whether a Christian or not, it's never stated, Timothy had never been circumcised, and Paul deemed it necessary or expedient, even though not required, to have this done before taking him into the synagogues, hoping to avoid giving unnecessary offense to the Jews. In other words, instead of standing there and arguing with them, he had this done so that the Word of God could be placed sooner. In other words, there would be nothing to interfere with the presentation of the Word of God. So Paul had Timothy circumcised. And notice in Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, there are instructions given here, decrees delivered. Acts 16 and verse 4, "And as they went through the cities," Paul and Timothy, "they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem." Now, Silas is around also now, not only Timothy, but Silas is there. And the decrees were what the Jerusalem council, this was back in Jerusalem now, this is the council that they had sent Paul and Silas to deliver to the churches. They were on a mission, not only to preach the Word of God and see souls saved, but they were also to deliver certain information to these churches they were visiting. Now notice, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." This tells me that what was going on there was right. Things were happening according to the Word of God as we know it today. They were doing the work of God, and so therefore people got saved and the numbers increased, not simply to get someone in church, but to help individuals to be brought into God's church. In other words, to become part of His bride. They would be saved, and they would be part of God's church. Now, these people were grounded in the faith, and because they were grounded in the faith, souls were produced. And this is according to Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. Well, then, we see something taking place here in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. There is something called the Macedonian call. And we hear that a lot in churches. If you've been around and you've heard preaching, you've heard about the Macedonian call. And we see in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, that something happens here. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia." This is modern-day Turkey in Asia. "But the Spirit suffered them not." In other words, the Spirit wouldn't let them go. The Spirit wouldn't let them preach where they wanted to preach. And this is because God wanted them to go somewhere else. You see, this does not mean that God did not care about people living in Asia. But this was not God's time for Asia. Later, they would go to Asia, these preachers, and preach the gospel there. As God's witnesses, also, we need to understand this, that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If God impresses upon a person's heart to go to Africa to be a missionary, that person needs to go. If God impresses upon a person's heart to go to India to be a missionary, that person needs to go. If God does not impress upon a person's heart to go to India or a foreign mission field, then that person needs to be a missionary where God has placed him or her. We need to be where God wants us to be and be a witness for Him. Wherever we're at, we need to be serving God and doing what God wants us to do. Now notice in verse 8 of Acts chapter 16, it says, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas." Well, there's a vision that takes place here. There is a request for help. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Well, Paul and his companions are convinced by God to go to Macedonia, Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. "And after he had seen the vision," this is Paul, "immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Well, the Holy Spirit, in some very clear way, closed the door to Asia, but then opened another by this special vision. You know, it's sobering to think that if Paul had not been redirected to Philippi in Greece, he might never have gone into Europe, and Christianity might have remained primarily an Asian religion. But God had other purposes. Now, we look at this and we understand that God is in charge. He's the one that helps us to know what to do. He is the one that we need to be listening to. Sometimes we have a tendency to jump ahead of God. The Bible says that we're to wait on Him. We're to pray and we're to ask Him what He would have us to do. "Lord, what would you have me to do for you?" We get to the point where we think that we ask God what He's going to do for us. We need to ask God, what would He have us to do? And we need to listen to His voice. And one way we do that is get into the Word of God. It is His Word. He will guide us and direct us through His Word. And then that still small voice. So it's not an audible voice, but it's a voice that we have because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We need to listen to God through His Word and be ready to do what He wants us to do. Not what we want to do, but what He wants us to do. God, help us to listen to Him. Father, help us now to do your will and to follow you and to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.